this class on the feeding of the 5,000.
Well, thank you very much, Brother Josh, and a very good evening, brethren and sisters. It's lovely to see you all as we share time together around God's word once again. So tonight we are going to look at together the feeding of the 5,000, a sign or miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ, which I'm sure we all know very well, whether that be from Sunday school as a child or through reading of it in the daily Bible readings. Such an interesting sign of John that we read about, and I'm looking forward to sharing my thoughts with you all tonight in study. And just for reference, if you're wondering where I am reading, what version I'm reading from tonight, it's okay. So the feeding of the 5,000 brethren and sisters is the only miracle or sign of the Lord Jesus Christ to be recorded over the four Gospels. This is really beneficial as each Gospel gives us more information on the events that occur at the start of John chapter 6. At the start of our account in John, we read that Jesus was on the cross following him. And last week we considered the events of John chapter 5, where Jesus healed the man at the pool of Bethesda. And if you follow the chapter through, it seems that Jesus is still in Jerusalem. It tells us that Jesus was teaching and rejected in Nazareth. Sorry, brothers and sisters. Rejected by the people in Nazareth. Of course, some time may have passed between these events, but either way, wherever Jesus was at this point, either Jerusalem, Nazareth, or somewhere in between, why has Jesus travelled from where he was to the north side of the Sea of Galilee? I think, brethren, so please turn with me to Matthew and chapter 14. At the start of Matthew, in chapter 14, we have Herod, the Tetrarch, hearing of Jesus and his fame across the land of Israel. And in verse 2 and 3, this is John the Baptist. He has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But Herod had seized John and bound him, and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. Here Herod agreed. He has heard about the works he thinks they are somehow being demonstrated again by John the Baptist, who he, Herod, had beheaded after Herodias' daughter danced for him, this can be read in verses 6 to 11 of Matthew chapter 14. And then continuing on in the chapter, in verse 12, we read, and John's disciples came and took the body and buried it, and they went and told Jesus. So here we see John's disciples carry his body away and bury it, and they go and tell Jesus about his death. Then verse 13 starts picking up on the same record of John chapter 6 and verse 1. So you may be thinking, what does this have to do with tonight's talk? We've just found out a possible reason as to why Jesus is on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. He's in mourning. His cousin has been killed. And the Lord Jesus needed to get away from everything. In Matthew, we are told Jesus withdrew from where he was and went to a desolate place. Brethren and sisters, can we truly realize how sometimes I think we forget how Jesus was a mortal human just as we are. He would have felt the pain, the same as if we'd lost a loved one. He would have been upset. Yes, in John chapter 6 and verse 2, we see a large crowd is following him because they had seen the signs that he was performing on the sick. He healed the sick as they followed him. And I know we can't heal the sick, brethren and sisters, like our Lord Jesus did. But after such an event, the murder of a family member, would we have compassion on people like the Lord Jesus did? Would we be able to help others through tough times? Or would we be self-absorbed in what happened? In my head, I know that I would struggle. The Lord Jesus shows us here that we should have compassion on those around us and put aside our own feelings and focus on other people's needs. And I appreciate that this is not always easy to do, but it's something that we should try to do by following the example of the Lord Jesus. I also suggest that the death of John would have been playing on the Lord Jesus's mind, especially after being told about it. It may have reminded him that he too was to die soon, which would roughly be in about a year from this time. The feeding of the 5,000 marks the final time that the Passover was recorded in Jesus' ministry before the Last Supper, which we'll read shortly in verse 4. Despite all this, though, the Lord Jesus doesn't allow how he would have been feeling at that time to affect him and what he would do for the multitude. So he didn't just heal the people, though, as we all know. He proceeded to feed them too. So if you come back to me now to John chapter 6, and we'll read verses 3 to 5 together. Verses 3 to 5. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes, then and seeing a large crowd was coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He sat down in the mountain with his disciples, and he wants to feed the Jews that have followed him. We have more information in the gospel, in the other gospels. So if you come with me now, please, to Mark and chapter 6, where we have some more information on what's happening. So Mark. Now, many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things . And when it grew late, the place, and the hour is now late, send them away and go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" So here again, he saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd. He had taught them and provided them with spiritual food, and he would later provide them with physical food. And this links to Psalm 23, the psalm we all know well. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Here with the multitude and the disciples, Jesus is their shepherd. He leads them and teaches them. Even though the disciples say to Jesus to send the people away, he still sits them down in green pastures, which we'll read and discuss shortly. Additionally, a further point leading from this with regards to Jesus being a shepherd of the people is that prophecy is fulfilled in verse 34 of Mark chapter 6. And this links to Ezekiel. Chapter 34 is told that he is to give a prophecy to the shepherds or religious leaders of Israel. This was about how they had not fed and cared for the people or their spiritual needs and not guided them in God's way. The shepherds had only looked after themselves, and because of that, the sheep, the people with Israel. In Ezekiel chapter 34, we'll read verse 5 and 6. Were scattered because there was for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered all over the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with no one to search or seek for them. And then reading later on in the chapter, we read that God has a plan for the people. He was to send a shepherd that not only feeds the people physically, but one who gives the flock a spiritual food they also need. In verse 23 and 24 of Ezekiel 34, we read the following. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. Am I saved, Lord? I have spoken. And so here we have read that God will send the one ultimate shepherd to and guide. Christ. He was the one who would gather his sheep and feed and nurture them with both. Both their physical and spiritual sign of the feeding of the 5,000, that the true shepherd has come to seek out the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He fed his sheep, both physically and spiritually. Brought together those. So if we go back to Mark now, and we'll in verse 37. Of chapter 6, disciples to feed the Jews that were set before them. And the disciples responded, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give to them to eat, that they should go and buy bread for the multitude to eat with the money that they had? Because in John chapter 6, we are told that Jesus had a response to this. Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. So here, Jesus asked Philip, one of his disciples, the Lord Jesus Christ knew what his response would be. And this is recorded for us in verse 7 of John chapter 6. So if you go back there. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. So here we find out that Philip knows that the people that were around them, this being the 5,000 men plus their families. Yet Philip still stops us, probably wanted a response along the lines of, this won't be enough bread, but you can provide for the multitude as you are the Messiah. Philip knew that Jesus was the Messiah throughout his discipleship, yet he just didn't think. And are we like that? Do we not see what's right in front of us? Do we fail to see that the Lord Jesus provides for all for us in our daily lives? When we have a problem put before us, do we always put our faith in God? Andrew and Peter have a similar response to the matter in verses 8 and 9. Also, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. But what are they for so many? From what we have just read in the verses, disciples again, that they can't see that this food would have been enough for all. Disciples here still don't see it. Jesus is before them, a man who has done many miracles. Yet they say, what are they for so many? They were thinking logically here, rather than faithfully and spiritually. But we know that these 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes are enough to feed the multitude. Not just because we know. So if we add up the quantity of the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes together, we get the number of 7. The number of 7 in the Bible. As you hear, the meal Jesus is to provide the multitude is the perfect meal that the people needed. So let's read on. Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was much grass in the place. So the men sat down about in number. The Lord Jesus, before he feeds the multitude, asking his disciples by John, those in the place. Mark gives us more information on this and says that Jesus commanded us. This links back to Psalm 23:2. Of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I'll not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me by still waters. Providing for the Jews and leading his people. He's also making them to lie down on the grass. I would suggest that the way the Jews would have been sat would have been as if they were reclined and lying slightly down as they were to partake of a meal. This is how the Romans ate their meals, which at this time the Jews would have been heavily influenced by. This is also verse 10 of John chapter 6. According to the Strong's dictionary, the words sit down is the Greek word an apito. Sorry if I pronounced that wrong, but this means to the lean back or recline. So, find in the green grass, just as it says in Psalm 23. And while we're on the subject of the grass, brethren and sisters, there's another link here that we could go to in Isaiah. This feeding of the multitude was for the Jews, and they would have known their Old Testament. So when Jesus commanded them to sit on the grass, their minds could well have gone back to Isaiah. And we're going to go there now also. So let's just go back to Isaiah and chapter 40. And verses 6-8. A voice says, "Cry, shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows on it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. The word of our God will stand forever." Looking here in Isaiah, we have the prophet saying that every person is grass. And in verse 8, we read, "Grass withers away, but the word of God stands forever. Therefore, if grass is flesh, then flesh will always die. But the hope that we have, and the hope which the Jews had at this time, at that time, is the hope, as it says, the word of our God will stand forever." The Jews would have known this verse, and they should have seen that they themselves and blood are like the grass, bread of life, which had been promised through the word of God. So if we go back now to John chapter 6. John 6 and verse 11. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fifth, told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes left by those who had eaten. So here we read that Jesus feeds the multitude. These 5 loaves and 2 fishes had spread across the multitude so that they could all say that the Lord Jesus provided and were filled by the bread of life. And this is the same for us, brethren and sisters. We too have been provided with the bread of life through Jesus. The word of God and the word of God and through Jesus' sacrifice, we have the hope of life. And this should keep in verse 12, we read that the disciples are told to gather up all the leftover fragments. Nothing was to be wasted. It was to be collected in baskets. And as we know, 12 baskets are filled with the fragments. I'm sure you're aware that this miracle is for the Jews. Everything that happened here would have significance for them. Like, for example, the grass that we've all collected up and placed into 12 baskets. The 12 baskets represent the 12 tribes of Israel. And it's interesting to see that what the multitude say when they see these 12 baskets. So let's read verse 14 and 15 together. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Here we read that the multitude see Jesus as a prophet that was to come into the world, and they wanted to make him king there and then that Jesus was well and truly the Messiah, and they wanted to make him king to overthrow the Romans. Yet Jesus withdrew to the mountains, as he knew it wasn't his time yet. It wasn't his Father's will for him to be king at that moment in time. This, I suggest, brethren and sisters, is the reason why and the time when he didn't give them what they wanted. And after these events, they would be increasingly disappointed in him. And are we like that, brethren and sisters? Do we want things from God in our lives and don't get them? Are we then disappointed if that is the case? Or do we have patience and wait until it's the Father's will for the right time to give us those things that we desire from him? Let's not be disappointed when we don't get things from God, when we feel that we need or want them. Instead, let us accept that things will come to pass when and if God is ready. So tonight, brethren and sisters, we have considered some points that come to depth at the account. We have looked at where and why Jesus did this miracle, who it was for, and some lessons for us to take from it. Now, every miracle in Jesus' ministry had a purpose, whether that was for the people at the time or for us now. The feeding of the 5,000 was there to show the Jews then and now that Jesus and God's words are the supplier of human needs. They set the principle for Jesus' testimony as the bread of life, just as it was recorded in verse 35 of John 6, where it says, "I, Jesus, am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Which is then command 1 of John 6. Let's read that together now. Jesus says here, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats it, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." So we read in this verse that Jesus is the bread of life, the eternal life that we seek. We need to partake of the bread of life each and every day. We need to consider Jesus' word in our lives. We need to cherish it. We need to believe it. And we need to recognize that Jesus gave himself, his flesh, that we may not die, but have life eternal in him. Jesus said in 57, that whosoever feeds on me, he will live because of me. We, brethren and sisters, like the multitude who were fed by Jesus, are truly privileged to know him and to be fed by him in our lives. May our faith soon be realized, and that in God's grace, may we be part of the eternal multitude of the faithful saints.